Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Here at the Lighthouse, we are as American as apple pie, and that means we believe all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And the first among these is the right to life. And following that, the right to liberty. And following that, the right to pursue our own happiness, understood within the context of the God who endowed to us these rights. Coming out to the Lighthouse for some apple pie. They told us they were coming for our children. Remember, homosexual activists, right out loud, in front of God and everybody, Marxists, communists, socialists, you know, punk rock bands, Black Panther radicals, they all told us they were coming for our kids. Well, they have arrived. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden's laptop continues to deliver. Proof that the Bidens are a bunch of white supremacist racists. Election fraud. We've got a lot on the election fraud front. Pandemic fraud. Much to say about that, too. The COVID cover-up. A little deep dive into all of that, my friend. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, let's get started. They told us they were coming for our children. You might remember that. Homosexual activists, the Marxists, the punk rock bands, Black Panther radicals, pedophiles, and other perverts. They've all at one time or another come out and said they're coming for our kids. Well, they have arrived. Networks roll out Pride Month content. Their theme, with imagination, I can be anything I want. Yeah, in the context, though, we're talking about, you know, trannies and weird and bizarre sexual perversities. Fox News reports Nickelodeon promoting LGBT to our children. And the cartoons are being used to teach homosexuality to our kids. This stuff at least used to be rated, what, X or something like that, or at least, what, PG? Curriculum in public schools are more interested in teaching children about masturbation than they are about mathematics. More interested in teaching them porn rather than physics or poetry. At least this public school is starting when the kids are 10. Now here's one reported in a New York Post article that reveals a $55,000 per year private Manhattan Dalton school is teaching first grade children about this. First graders, folks. And the same teacher introducing this to their six-year-olds, Justine Ang Font, led an explicit porn literacy workshop at another elite prep school. Get it? The agenda is not, as they pretend, to teach children to understand their sexuality. Well, it's about preparing them to, early on, to be open and curious about every sort of dehumanizing perversity. Font identifies herself, by the way, as a she-they kind of thing. You know what that's all about. Sexualizing our youth at the earliest possible moment is not a good idea. Their emotional wiring is not yet completed. I mean, at least their judgment and reasoning powers are very limited and immature. There's a natural shamefacedness in children that protects them regarding these things, and it awakens over time. The parents need to be the ones who help guide them as the child begins to naturally become curious about these sorts of things, and that's different for each child. The classroom is not a proper setting to be intruding into these matters. Some things are better learned within the context of home from a parent who can address it in privacy. Because these things are private matters. They are personal, not public things you talk about. This is not the sort of thing that should be taught in a classroom. Is anything private anymore? Is there any regard for personal, private? Adam and Eve became aware of their nakedness, and this caused them to be surprised and ashamed. I think God intended, by the way, to reveal to Adam and Eve the knowledge of good and evil. I don't have time to give you a Bible study on that, but I can show you from Scripture. It's clearly there. But first, they needed to learn obedience. Otherwise, the evil would dominate and overwhelm the good. They disobeyed God and got that knowledge too soon, before they were ready. There's a time and a place for children to learn about their sexuality, and it should be in the privacy of the home between the parent and the child in that relationship. And it's because, friend, this is personal and private stuff, not public school stuff. And then the CRT, critical race theory nonsense, another attempt to shape our children's souls, created in the image and likeness of God, into the image of, well, Satan himself. This is the most devilish stuff our educators have pushed on our children since they began telling them that they were not created by God, undermining their fundamental basis for human rights, by the way, nor made in his image, but rather they're the accidental production of happenstance, mutations driven by some unseen, unknowable, and unconscious natural mechanism called survival, without any explanation of how such an unconscious principle can so consciously operate anyway. Now, the educators, indoctrinators really, explain to children that Martin Luther King got it totally wrong. We don't judge people by the content of their character. Oh, no. We judge them entirely by the color of their skin. And if you're white, well, you are inherently evil. And frankly, there is simply nothing you can do about it. Sorry. Except die. They're not saying that exactly in those words, at least not yet. I mean, it's not written into the explicit curriculum. But my friend, that curriculum pushes this implicitly. White people have no reason to be alive. At present, they are content to pull down statues of white people. But soon, well, they'll tire of playing with dolls, and they'll start fulfilling the vision cast by Black Panthers in the 90s, remember? Who were videoed angrily speaking about hating white people and wanting to take their white babies and bash their heads into the streets. Yeah, literally, they were saying things like this. And now they want to teach the children the philosophical rationale for executing this policy, for hating white people. But there's a pushback, thank God. There are some brave patriot teachers out there standing up and speaking out. And many parents are rising up like mama bears to protect their cubs. God bless them and God help them and let us stand up with them. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden's laptop continues to deliver proof that the Bidens are white supremacists. Yeah, Hunter's emails show Hunter Biden using the N-word repeatedly when talking to his lawyer, but that should not surprise anyone. His father, like his son, is a racist. They're racist to the core. How do you like that, Libs? You voted for a racist. Unbelievable. Get a load of this. A meme found on Hunter's laptop shows Obama and Biden in an embrace. Obama says, quote, "I'm going to miss you, man." And Biden says, quote, "Can I say it just this once?" End quote. Now, this is a meme, you know. Obama sighs and says, "Go ahead." Biden says, "You my nigga, Barack." Yeah, let that sink in just about half a second. Wow. Hunter Biden's laptop proves what I've been saying for a while now. Joe Biden's a white supremacist. Really, they all are. In fact, I think Biden picked up the baton of Imperial Wizard of the KKK from Byrd. I don't have time to go in the background for that one. Let's review Biden's record, shall we? And we really can't, we don't have time to get it all in. First, everyone knows Biden opposed every effort to advance the access of blacks to share equally in the promise of our Constitution and Declaration, something Martin Luther King championed, the divinely endowed rights of mankind, you know, all who are created in his image. Like all of his Democrat colleagues, Biden opposed the civil rights gains that were achieved finally against every effort on their part to stop it. Remember, June 2019, Biden boasted about his work with segregationist senators Eastland of Mississippi and Talmadge of Georgia. These men firmly opposed desegregation. But let's look at what comes from his mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. September 2020, why some were able to quarantine during the pandemic, Biden explained. Some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf, end quote. What? Out of the abundance of the heart. May 2020, to a black man asking him a tough question during his campaign, he got angry. So he angrily chastised this man and said, "I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black." What an arrogant twit. August 2019, at a campaign event in Iowa, Biden told supporters, quote, "Poor kids are just as bright and talented as white kids," end quote. What? Unbelievable. June 2019, in a context in which it was clear he was talking about black young people, Biden said, quote, "We've got to recognize that the kid wearing a hoodie may very well be the next poet laureate and not a gangbanger," end quote. Yeah. Yeah, he got chastised for this by some of his Democrat friends. But, I mean, give me out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. February 20, 2007, Biden remarked that Obama is, quote, "the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean," end quote. You've got to be kidding me. This man's got sickness in his soul. 2006, Biden, then a senator of Delaware, can be seen in a clip talking to a man who appears to be of Indian descent, and he says, quote, "In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans." And then he followed that with, "You can't go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking." Unbelievable. What sort of heart crafts statements like these? Perhaps the same sort of heart that thinks throwing the N-word around flippantly, vulgarizing an ethnic group within the family of man. You know, sort of like how so many throw around or throw about the F-word, vulgarizing the sexuality of mankind. These are vulgar people. Selah. Hold on to the break.
Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Light, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Let me give you an election fraud update. And we'll start in Arizona. The auditors will complete counting ballots by June 14. And June 14 happens to be Trump's birthday. Vernon Jones of Arizona tells us there are only three pallets of ballots remaining to be examined and counted. Officials expect huge discrepancies to be revealed. It's getting close. Dig in your heels and get ready for the storm. The Arizona audit model is being examined by other states. Nine states join Arizona for a total of 10. Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Wisconsin, Alaska, Utah, Virginia, Michigan, and now, welcome, Missouri. Yo, Pastor Owens, way to go. Let's send a California delegation. Get on it. Do it. Do you remember when they got the Frankfurt servers, a map was put together showing the true results of that election, and it showed that California flipped red. Trump got 410 electoral votes. Remember the Trump trains? I drove a few of them. Remember the signs, the enthusiasm, the rallies for Trump here? Not so much for Biden, let me tell you, but there are some really interesting things happening in Michigan. In Antrim County, to be exact, how providential was it that in which Gretchen's state, of all states, they slipped, they goofed, they got caught switching 6,000 votes from Trump to Biden. There's no fact-checking on that one, friend. Oh, they claim it was a machine error or human error or something like that. But it just snuck out from them. 6,000 oopsies. And it got out to the public before they could do anything to quash that story. Even more shocking, certain election data was deleted from Dominion machines in Antrim County per the instructions from the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. Whoa. And a city clerk of Antrim County instructed her employees to oblige the Secretary of State and delete the files. Her name is Cheryl Guy. She is the one that led the effort to correct the vote switch. Yeah, she led the recount of those ballots. Now wait, this gets more interesting. Remember Matthew DiPerno? Now he's the attorney that got access through the courts to look at these Dominion machines. But because his case was narrowly focused on a down-ticket issue, he wasn't allowed to use what he discovered in that case to challenge the rest of the election. Yeah, there are some strange squirrels running about in Michigan. But he didn't give up. Something has happened in Michigan that has the swamp crawlers getting very, very nervous. DiPerno tweets in four parts, quote, "We have been lied to. The Antrim County Election Management System, EMS, and that's Dominion, by the way, was remotely and successfully logged into anonymously on 11/5/2020 at 5:55 p.m. and again on 11/17/2020 at 5:16 p.m. Yes, he says, that is correct. Remotely. And he says those dates are significant because they correspond directly to the dates the county and the Secretary of State were trying to correct the intentional computer problems that subverted the election. These logons, DiPerno tells us, appear to have escalated privileges at the time of logon. Again, remotely. Now, the purpose for the remote and anonymous logon is revealed by what was done when they logged on. And what was done is the Secretary of State was given enhanced privileges. The only ones who could do this would be someone from Dominion or working for Dominion. This means Dominion was directly involved in this steal and the cover-up. DiPerno continues, but we were told there was no internet connection. In an accredited election management system, an anonymous user should not be authorized by the accreditation authority, but would instead be required to enter a specific username and password to utilize the system, quote unquote. But the hacker did this anonymously. You see, my point here is they can't pass it off saying, well, yeah, some official with access, you know, like Dominion, well, they had to get in there to enhance privileges so that the Secretary of State and the others that were working on this could fix the machine. The machine needed fixing? Ha! You mean it needed to be unfixed? The logon was anonymous. There's no reason to go all anon, unless you don't want anyone to know who did the deed. There's no reason to cover up who did this unless it was done for nefarious reasons. DiPerno continues, quote, "We were told there was no internet connection. We were told there was no remote access. We were told this was human error. All lies. This is fraud. This decertifies the Antrim County election. Secretary of State Benson should resign or be impeached." Boom. Now, here is more from DiPerno. Get a load of this. From another Matt DiPerno tweet, this one in three parts, former Republican Michigan State Representative Tristan Cole started contacting people in Antrim County asking for County Clerk Cheryl Guy's personal cell phone. Now, remember, Cheryl Guy is a Democrat loyalist. She's the city clerk who ordered the deletion of election logs from computers in Antrim County. DiPerno explains the reason Tristan Cole wanted the city clerk's private phone number. It was because Senator Ed McBroom needed to talk to her ASAP and not on an official telephone line. Now, Ed McBroom is the chairman on the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee that led the hearing regarding voter fraud allegations presented, I believe it was Mr. Javon and his team. This is the guy, McBroom, who dismissed the allegations and who, according to DiPerno, buried all the evidence and refused to meet with the lawyer. Then DiPerno suggests, reasonably, I think, the reason McBroom wanted to talk to Cheryl Guy on a private line. Quote, "This phone call on a private line is an attempt to circumvent FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, violate the Open Meetings Act, and may implicate them in violation of other laws and regulations," end quote. So, let's put this together. The Michigan State Senator, who chairs the Oversight Committee that heard evidence regarding election fraud and dismissed it, preemptorily, by the way, suddenly needs to talk to the city clerk who was involved in deleting election log data in the county where 6,000 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. And suddenly, he needs to talk to her ASAP. Oh, and by the way, on a private line. You see, he cannot connect to her through the official channels. Well, you see, that would be subject to public scrutiny. And McBroom does not personally try to find a way to contact Cheryl outside official channels. You know, for a little private chat. Maybe ask her for a date. Apparently, he asked a former Rhino Republican, Tristan Cole, to find her private number on his behalf. We've been lied to, friends. The Dominion machines are internet capable. They are hackable. By the way, something we've known for a long time. Kamala said so herself. In 2019, in a Senate hearing, she testified that she watched personally a company easily hack into the voting machines. Flynn offers a status assessment of the election fraud exposure effort that's ongoing. He believes some real, what did he call them? Oh, yeah, bombshells are coming out of Arizona and probably from Georgia also. The clock is telling me I need to wind down. But let me give you a quick update on the pandemic fraud. Fauci is feeling the noose tightening around his scrawny neck, like a chihuahua. He looks rather like one. He's barking and snarling, snipping and snapping. It's very dangerous to attack me. To attack me is to attack science. To attack me is to attack truth. You've got to be kidding me. You know what? I am science. I am truth. This man is losing it. Ingram gave her angle on this. The only person with the cred to make a statement like that is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, she even quoted the reference, John 14:6. Way to go. Laura, who does this guy think that he is? I mean, really? He's a Catholic, right? So he's going all Bishop of Aquila on us, right? You saw it, Lady Hawk. To break faith with me is to break faith with him. You know, that quick, ominous, portentous glance upward with him. Break faith with Fauci and, hey, it's dangerous. That's his word. Key word here. Dangerous. He's threatening. This little man is trying to bully the American people. Like those liberal news anchors I heard with voices descending into near guttural tones, warning those who refuse to take the vaccine that they will have to pay. Hey. None of this is working. In fact, it's driving people farther away from your needles. Attack Fauci? You're attacking science? Pronouncements of scientists are not science. I've got a booklet coming out soon, I hope, on the science of masks. The entire nonsense about masks and social distancing. Good night. Not one Western RCT, that's a randomized controlled trial. You know, the type of trial Fauci recently said was the gold standard for figuring out if something really works. No one in Western medicine supported masks and social distancing as effective mitigations, as a public policy for controlling the spread of a virus. Jesuit Bishop Fauci himself said in an email uncovered recently that masks, you know, the ones you buy in the pharmacy, they don't stop a virus. The virus is too small. It moves right through them. Friend, you've been lied to. Sorry, Fauci. 70% of Americans now believe the virus most likely was created in the Wuhan lab. That's a double whammy. Originated in Wuhan, something he had denied. Created, not naturally occurring, something he claimed. Fauci headlined a conference with Bat Lady and EcoHealth's Dajak, despite distancing himself from Wuhan. Now, listen carefully. Fauci spoke of emerging viruses back there in 2017 in that meeting. And the conference gathered there to talk about the next pandemic. So who are these people that he joined and was the headline speaker, keynote speaker for this conference? EcoHealth Alliance President Peter Dajak. Now, he's the guy the Pentagon used to funnel big bucks into the Wuhan lab in China in order to continue gain-of-function research on coronavirus from bats after our Congress put the kibosh on it and forbade it. And Xi Xingli is the top Wuhan lab researcher doing the work on gain-of-function research on bat viruses in Wuhan. Xingli is the infamous Bat Lady. The CCP-run Wuhan lab lists Dajak's group as a partner. This is from National Pulse, by the way. National Pulse dug up some speeches from Dejac in which he talks about delegating work on killer viruses to his Chinese colleagues. Dejac talked about how his organization, quote, sequences deadly viruses, end quote. He talked about, quote, inserting spike proteins, end quote, into viruses to see if they can, quote, bind to human cells, end quote. Remember, a while back, I brought out that the vaccines created by Pfizer and I think Moderna use a new approach in which they inject us with mRNA vaccines that get into our cells and enter the ribosome, where they generate creation of spike proteins. Spike proteins that emulate those delivered by the virus in order to trick the body into reacting with antibodies. But they are discovering that these spike proteins are actually the part of the whole thing that creates the problems. Man, this is nuts. Now here's a quote from Dejac. We found other coronaviruses in bats, a whole host of them. Some of them look very similar to SARS. So we sequenced the spike protein, the protein that attaches to cells. Then we, well, I didn't do this work, but my colleagues in China did the work. You create pseudoparticles, you insert the spike proteins from those viruses, you see if they bind to human cells. At each step of this, you move closer and closer to, this virus could really become pathogenic in people. And he adds, you end up with a small number of viruses that really do look like killers, quote unquote. Still trying to vaccinate everyone? They refuse to give the general public or even to individuals the information they need to be really informed in their consent. They're not even asking. They're demanding and trying to trick people. Man, what is with these Marxists that they don't like consent? What have they got against giving people the power of consent? They've stolen our power to give consent to those who govern us. And now they're stealing our power to give consent to those who would jab us with an experimental vaccine. It's all coming out. They stole our consent in the election by election fraud. And now they're stealing our consent in the pandemic fraud. We're becoming like the Chinese people, man. I wonder why everybody's walking around wearing the mask. We are being taken over by the CCP. It's all made in China. Yeah, the election fraud made in China. Pandemic fraud made in China. The only question remaining, did CCP, Chinese Communist Party, release this virus on purpose? You know, as an act of war. We know they attacked our election on purpose, and that was an act of war. But did they also release this pathogen onto the world as an act of war? All who participated in this are traitors, including the MSM and the social media gurus who jumped on this traitorous train. I dare call it treason. I'm out of time. Come to the Lighthouse this Sunday and learn what we're doing about all this. Two messages. Sunday a.m., I dare call it treason. And that's 10:45 a.m., by the way. And then at 5 p.m., When God Comes Down. I have lit the lamps of the Church of Belfry Arch. You call and let me know you see they're on. 805-314-2114. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Or go to our websites. You can go to godswar2020.com or brainmassage.net. Find the contact button there. Send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. Go to godswar2020.com. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon